Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This episode is made possible by the support we get from Fort Collins Kia. If you are in the market for any electric Kia, not only do they never add market adjustments, they will deliver your car to you anywhere in the 48 contiguous states for out-of-spec viewers. More information in the link in the show notes. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. If you have been following anything we've been doing lately, you know that the whole team, and more than the team, friends and family have been involved in everything electric trucks. Rivian, Lightning, Cybertruck, Silverado. Four trucks going absolutely everywhere with it, towing, racing, and really testing them from top to bottom. And it's been a lot of fun and it's been really busy. And another thing that the team did is, of course, race those four different electric vehicle trucks from Jacksonville, Florida, all the way to San Diego, California, without stopping. And it was a race. It was to see who charged best and how the team also, it was up to the teams to be strategic. And then also who would get there first, all that efficiency, all that crazy stuff. And for some reason, a bunch of guys agreed to do it and stretch it out from Jacksonville to San Diego. Today, we are here with the Cybertruck team. That is Kyle calling in from the Cybertruck, Drew from Martian Wheels, and Brandon Tesla Flex. So thank y'all for hopping on the podcast to tell me all about what it was like to spend, how many hours, over 50 hours together with the Cybertruck racing across the country? It's a long time. So let's start maybe just from the beginning. How did it all begin for you all in Jackson, Florida? I know that Kyle was there, like, absolutely trying to wrangle cats. Speaking of, Brandon just had a cat walking across his screen, but to get everything in order. And then y'all said, okay, we agree to come along, Drew and Brandon. Was it an easy decision to come on this trip?
Well, for me, it was an easy decision. To make it happen was sort of last minute, but the cannonballs, the big out of spec events, those are always ones I want to be a part of. So yeah, easy decision.
What about you, Brandon?
Well, I found out about this on like a Tuesday at 3 p.m. and on Wednesday the next morning I was flying to Jacksonville. So I just thought, like, who else is going to drive four electric trucks across the country?
So exactly. We need that.
Pretty cool. And it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like everyone had a pretty good time.
It's a pretty elite group. You know, you gotta have several prerequisites to be good at this anyway.
Tell me more about those prerequisites, Drew.
I mean, you got to know about electric cars and then get really into the intricacies of the details of at least your vehicle that you're driving and how it operates best. and charges best. And so, yeah, I mean, that that narrows the number of people that can do this, you know, into a pretty small group right off the bat. And then, you know, got to be okay with getting a little, you know, spicy behind the wheel and, you know, not sleeping. You know, if you're a fan of Red Bull, that's a plus. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. A good old food. Celsius. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure y'all's diets were just really great, full of all the nutrition you needed. But you bring up a good point, Drew, about, you know, the charging curves and the capabilities of the EV or the electric truck that you're in. And Kyle, calling in from the Cybertruck itself, can you tell us about the specs of the Cybertruck, how you got your hands on it, just in case people don't know? Where did this Cybertruck come from?
Right. Well, we took delivery at the Jacksonville, Florida Delivery Center, which is kind of what prompted this whole event. Jacksonville is the closest, Jacksonville to San Diego is the shortest cross-country route there is. And I always thought, well, we should probably run that with an electric car. And I had an F-150 Lightning that I drove down to Florida with my dad to make a video on Tesla superchargers versus CCS. And I'm like, well, I'm in Florida. I have a Cybertruck and a Lightning. We should get like a Rivian and we should run all three of these electric trucks across the country. And then I remembered Hertz, at least in California, had Silverado EVs for rent. And I called up a friend of mine who works for Hertz. And I'm like, hey, do you have any Silverado EVs in Florida that we could rent? And he's like, oh yeah, there's one like literally at the Hertz, right, like 10 minutes from where I was, ready to go. So it actually worked out pretty well, because I think, Brandon, it was when you flew in, we picked up the Silverado. Is that how that worked?
Yeah, walked right from the gate over to Hertz and just got the Silverado and left.
Yeah,
wow. So
that very convenient.
Yeah, that worked out great. And so then we had, you know, all four electric trucks in Jacksonville. And we were like, cool. The only thing we were missing was Hummer EV, but Silverado EV represents Ultium in my mind, and it's a better road tripper than Hummer anyway. So we had the four major platforms, if you will. And we all thought, genuinely, that the Cybertruck under normal circumstances would come last place. It has the smallest battery and the worst charging curve of the bunch. And ultimately, if anyone watched the video, which is live by now, you'll know that we came second place behind the Silverado. And, you know, like, how is that even possible that we all assumed this would be bad? And what it really came down to or at least from my standpoint, was just the frequency of Tesla supercharging locations. If we had to do 100-mile, 150-mile, 180-mile gaps between chargers, we would have been hours behind where we are. And the reason is because the Cybertruck only charges fast from 0 to 29%. That's when it can hold 250 kilowatts. And then by the time you reach 50% state of charge, which was a deep charge for us on this trip, we were well below 150 kilowatts at that point. So, you know, we really got lucky because that route had so much high power Tesla charging infrastructure. If it didn't, we would have for sure have been behind the Rivian, no question, and maybe even where the Lightning was in the back.
Hmm. And what size is the battery in the Cybertruck that you're driving?
Yeah, it's 123 kilowatt hours usable. In comparison to the Lightning is 130 kilowatt hours. The Rivian is 135. And the Silverado that we used was 180.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you. Okay, interesting. So I'd like to, before, you know, you talked a little bit about your strategy. It sounds like 50% was kind of along one of the deepest charges that you did, because Kyle, you've raced before, Drew, you've raced before, Brandon, have you raced along as well? Were you ready for their strategy?
I mean, I was there for like the race to Vegas 2 years ago, so I kind of understood what I was getting into. I just didn't think it would be as intense, because it was definitely not as intense the first time. And this time it was like we had to do every possible thing to optimize, and like even to the point of like staying behind cars and, you know, the other Rivian. Just it was kind of expected, but also a little extreme. A regular person would not be doing that.
No. And I mean, and you got second. So it seems like probably that efficiency along with the, you know, ubiquity of the supercharger network definitely helped apparently to what you were thinking. But I guess you thought, hey, if we're going to come in last, we really have to be strategic and rush out. So did you leave at 100%? And then how far did you go? What was your typical way of traveling? Like, how'd you run down the battery? How much did you charge it up? You said that maybe you were drafting behind, you know, other cars. Tell me more about your strategy.
Well, Drew, you can, your strategy, man, sure. You can explain.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, Kyle did, get the Cybertruck up to as close to 100% as possible. Service center. Is that the one you picked it up from?
Yes. It's the one that they picked, yeah, that we picked it up from. We charged it there. And then they were like, you can't charge here. And we're like, oh, we're making our way back to the truck really slowly.
Yeah. And it's full charge. So anyway, bye. Yeah. Yeah. So that worked out great because that wasn't too far from the starting point. So yeah, great. You know, pretty much as good of a starting state of charge as we could possibly have. And then, yeah, we, you know, all got together and did our things, you know, the intro that that you've seen, and then we headed off. So, yeah, the first charging stop for us, I forget how many miles it was, but I remember arriving with a pretty high state of charge. So it was, you know, 100 to like 25 or 30 or something like that. Was that the rainstorm.
Yeah, that's where the truck fell in the sinkhole.
Oh my God. So yeah, so it starts off pretty dramatic with rolling into this, just, you know, you're coming up to this just dark black, you know, wall of water. And I mean, it was probably some of the hardest rain I've ever seen. And so we were, you know, set to go to a charger a little bit further and really, you know, maximize that full, you know, battery pack, but then we weren't going to make it. So our efficiency just went way down, and we had to make a quick, splash and dash. And, this charger that we, went into had this, just massive sinkhole, you know, which turned into puddle that you couldn't really see. I didn't see at all. the truck practically, you know, we almost had to use, you know, wade mode. And, wow. So yeah, that was an interesting first stop, but, you know, perfect to that point. There's nothing, no more time on the table. That first stop was absolutely maximized and, in and out back on the highway.
Drew, that was the first time we had an issue with a Tesla supercharger. It wouldn't charge. And then we moved it again and it wouldn't charge. And then we unplugged and waited. And then we started to figure out that we had an issue with our charging. If you plug in the Cybertruck too soon, it does not accept a charge.
What do you mean too soon? Yeah. Too soon from when?
From parking and hopping out and literally plugging in, you know, as quickly as you physically can is too quick. So it's more like take your seatbelt off, open the door, you know, sort of casually walk over to the charger and then plug in. Give it that, you know, sort of few seconds, and then you would get normal, you know, ramp up to full charging speed. So yeah, I don't know if you have any new info on why that happens, but anyway, maybe something with the 800 volt system there. So yeah, learning curve there. That would have been good to learn ahead of time, but anyway, now we're like, okay, this is what the deal is. So we probably didn't need to move chargers that first one. So a little bit of a learning curve as we got going.
Mm-hmm. But definitely. After that
first stop, it was so cool because, you know, the Lightning also had the same approach where they thought they were going to stretch their full battery. Everyone did. And really only the Silverado with that huge ass battery, technical term, could stretch it that far to go to Chipley, I think is where they were going. And we saw the Lightning there at the first charging stop. And, you know, when that happened, I was like, you know, the Lightning, the theory for us was the Lightning is going to charge to 80% every time. It can hold 120 kilowatts all the way to 80%. And like at 80%, we're doing like 60, we're doing half of that. So that's where the whole theory came that the Cybertruck is going to do pretty poorly in comparison to the other vehicles. And, you know, with that first charging stop, we were in and out in 3 minutes, 5 minutes, something like that. It was so close that as we were pulling back onto the highway, we saw the Silverado EV right there because they had got stuck in traffic leaving Jacksonville. And we were like one traffic light ahead. So we basically charged for a full light cycle. And then we were
Oh my God. Such a quick charge. That's pretty crazy. Okay. Fun off the bat, learning things that, you know, you didn't know about the Cybertruck so that you can have more and more efficient stops and charges. And, you know, you're only using the Tesla superchargers, right? I know that we tried the CCS adapter, Kyle, when we first got our hands on a Cybertruck in Austin, but we realized it wouldn't even fit into the charge port. It was too small for the CCS adapter due to its design. So did you consider that was just no go at all? Then you couldn't use CCS infrastructure.
So we could. Since this trip, we learned a lot about what was causing some of the problems. The Cybertruck will charge on CCS on certain stations that it worked with. And actually, it just got a software update only a week ago at this point, which is after our road trip, where now it seems to work on every CCS station. It now follows the official protocol. And I've developed this little adapter string, which is basically a spacer. So now I don't have to take the whole side of the truck off. So this is like a NACS to NACS spacer into the Tesla adapter. I do not recommend anyone do this. This is a 500 volt rated adapter. This is one of those breakaway things that if you trip over the cable, it can arc. It's super sketchy. But at least I did charge the Cybertruck yesterday at CCS at 330 kilowatts peak. Last night.
Nice.
And so, you know, now the fastest way to road trip this thing is to skip the superchargers and hit CCS. But that was not a thing at the time.
Wow. Okay. So could have been. But okay, Brandon, do you wish that you could have used the CCS chargers or were the superchargers where you needed them to be? I mean, obviously you would have gotten faster charges, apparently.
I think there was also that risk of it not working and then us wasting our time. So it was just easier to rely only on superchargers.
That's true. And were they typically right off the highway? I know that a lot of the CCS teams had to go to Walmarts that are like 4 miles off the highway and go through those parking lots and stuff. But Tesla seems to be, they went right for the corridors right away. Did y'all typically hit that kind of convenient infrastructure?
Yeah,
that was a big part of why this strategy worked is because almost all of them were less than a mile off the road, and so you know, easy decisions to just commit to that, you know, 0 to 30, 0 to 30, and you know, just pop in and out of the very convenient superchargers, mostly V3s, I don't know. It's like, I feel like it was a good moment in time because even since then, Rivian has gained access to the supercharger network. And so things have changed even in the, you know, few weeks since the drive. So for us to do, you know, supercharger only, I think is a cool data point. And it'd be, of course, fun to try it again and see if we can take advantage of higher charging with CCS. Yeah.
Yeah, I think actually it probably would still be slower now that I'm thinking about it to use CCS for most locations because handshake time, proximity to the highway, and the benefit of that over 300 kilowatts is only from about 0 to 8%. At about 8 or 9%, you come below 300 kilowatts. And at that point, we could just sit at 250 on a version 3 supercharger and rock and roll. I mean, I think ultimately what we learned through this trip is we found the Cybertruck stresses the existing supercharger network harder than any other Tesla ever has. And we found D-rated superchargers. We found that cable cooling is not sufficient for this truck. And Brandon can walk us through what we had to do to circumvent, not that we're recommending any of this, but to circumvent some of the temperature sensors. And we also found just like weird issues that we had never seen with superchargers until we drove this vehicle. And I really hope Tesla supports 1,000-volt natively. They need to. Their truck needs high-voltage charging. It will keep cable temperatures so much cooler. It would let the truck charge at its maximum rate with significantly less current. And, yeah, what's crazy to me is Tesla has a vehicle that can charge way faster than any single piece of supercharger equipment installed anywhere in the world right now.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to be able to compare the supercharger network with the CCS with two Cybertrucks on the road. That would be pretty crazy. But I do hope that if you do another race, I'm included. And also that we have, maybe I'll get like a truck of chicks, which would be fun to throw them in there. I think that would be really fun. I mean, it sounds like y'all had a good time. But also with Tesla, there is FSD, full self-driving. I know since then, you know, the version 12 is out and everyone's having a ton of fun with that, and we'll have podcasts about that. But did you have any of those driver's assistance, or what lacked, or what were you using, or were you purposely not using it so you could drive how you wanted to? What did y'all do there?
Well, Cybertruck still has no autopilot, no FSD. So yeah, we use the adaptive cruise, which is the only driver assistance that it has at the moment. So, you know, I would actually prefer just a bare bones cruise control, because, you know, when we're going in and out of traffic and we're starting to get, you know, closer to a vehicle, it, you know, starts to slow down. And so you got to be like right on the throttle, and it's almost harder than just driving yourself. In a lot of situations. But then, yeah, obviously good when you're open roads just to hold that exact maximum speed that we can do. But yeah, not like the Lightning crew, for instance.
Yeah, they had that blue, what do they call it?
Blue Cruise.
Blue Cruise, yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
They definitely like that. And they were cruising, I got to say. So I think people yes. will see that too. You know, y'all had a very different strategy than maybe they did, which I wasn't there. I'm not sure which strategy I would employ. I think it would definitely be dependent on the team and their energy and everything. But when you were on the road, I know that you pull off to that first one and then you see the Silverado go by. Were you typically seeing other trucks on the road? Were you passing them? Were there different parts along the 50 hours where you saw them? What was that like?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We saw everybody. Yeah. That was the last time we saw the Lightning. And they just slipped further and further behind from that point. But yeah, we were mixing it up with the other two trucks, the whole time, basically. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I forget when the last charge was that we saw the Rivian where they were, you know, we got a glimpse of the aggression level in that vehicle.
We were right on the California border, right? Just like somewhere there. And we are, you know, we are ripping in and out of stations because we know like, okay, we have to work so hard here. And they must have been feeling the same thing, because I was pulling out of the parking lot, like full brakes to stop. And then I just see a Rivian in full ABS coming right by us and passing the truck like on the right. Like, it was hilarious. Just, I think, you know, Colby employs the NASCAR lifestyle, and he was full spent.
For sure.
Yeah. Some other competitive people out there. That's good. Okay. So Brandon, Kyle mentioned a little bit of something about temperature, because of course, charging all that energy, it can get a little heated, right? And you're trying to be efficient. So there's ways where you can try to help the cooling, but typically your typical person wouldn't do that, right? You know, they might not even know what's happening, that the cables are getting hot or whatever's going on. So what curious things were you getting up to?
Yeah, so this is actually something that Kyle's been doing for a while, and I learned from him. So the cable or the handle of the cable was getting too hot. And I guess there's a sensor in there. So it was basically derating the charger, right? And it was making it so the Cybertruck would just kind of charge curve just falls off a cliff way faster. So we started putting like a wet rag on it or a wet microfiber towel. And suddenly the issues went away. And then later on, we had to start wrapping the top of the cable with a different towel because it was getting too hot there. But it definitely helped to kind of like keep the cable cooler and keep the charge rate higher, but not something that I'd recommend for people to do on like a regular basis. I don't know if it's even bad for the chargers or something.
we did get some comments, which is like, well, you're fooling temperature sensors. And to keep in mind, I've seen a lot of the spec data on Tesla supercharger handles and everything. The first thing that actually gets too hot beyond spec is the exterior temperature sensor for like hand burning. Nothing actually internal. The plastic can handle more, but Tesla derates early so that you don't, for OG Tesla owners, version 2 superchargers used to get so hot you would almost sear your hand on them, and people were complaining about that. So Tesla put in a temperature sensor, it may have already been there, and just said derate the current based on the exterior physical temperature. There are other temperature sensors for the pins on both the inlet of the vehicle and the outlet of the supercharger handle. So essentially what we're doing is we're cooling the exterior surface and fooling that one temperature sensor. It's not really fooling. We are cooling down the exterior temperature so that it doesn't burn your hand. And therefore now we're relying just on the physical connection sensors to derate if things actually get hot in the connection, which they don't typically, as long as you have a good mated connection. So I wouldn't say it's dangerous, but this is the trick. And we would be, I don't want to say, I bet we saved over the entire trip anywhere between 40 minutes and an hour, thanks to the cooling of the cables. If we didn't have that, we for sure would have been behind the Rivian.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. You know, people are like, what's going on when you're in cooling these? What's the sensor? But I mean, your theory seems to make sense, or perhaps it's proven that it is, you know, for the safety standards, like the McDonald's coffee spilling in your lap, you got to protect the customers, right? Okay, interesting. Were there any other hacks that y'all did along the way? And I mean, did you help the other teams at all, or did you keep all of your strategy to yourself?
Yeah, no, we gave away. We showed our cards. I mean, we had Glimpse. You know, was running on all vehicles, so we could all see each other. You know, that's what you now have seen in the videos. And so, you know, there's that. Okay, we know where everybody is. And yeah, then we're having phone calls and talking over strategies and stuff like that. So although the Silverado did get quite quiet, especially towards the last like third, they I think, opted out of that getting towards the end because it was close.
Yeah,
but yeah, other than that, the cable cooling was huge. And then just, you know, the little things like, you know, the weight to plug in and just being on top of it. I think that's probably more important than anything else, is just always be, which is one thing that gets, you know, pretty exhausting on these trips, is, you know, you can't really just, you know, turn your brain off. You got to kind of always be like, okay, like I saw the charge rate go down sooner than it should have. Do we have a charger issue? Something getting too hot, what should we do? And always making those decisions on the fly.
Yeah, and I bet you're getting tired. That's a long time to spend doing anything, and not in the, you know, it's not at home. You can't go take a lonesome rest in your own bedroom. So spending this much time in the Cybertruck, what are your impressions of comfort, drivability? I mean, yeah, just living inside of it for so long. Not many people, I think, will do that, but a lot of people will probably road trip it. And also it reminded me, Drew, of like Amazing Race. Like, would you be able to do it in an electric vehicle? Probably not, but you have to like be there and be comfortable. So what was it like being in the Cybertruck for that long?
Brandon, why don't you start us off?
Well, I was riding in the back for a good part of it. So on it, like the first part, I was just in the back. So it was pretty comfortable, and it wasn't as loud as the front, but it definitely was kind of loud. And I think just because the motors are just louder in general, and maybe in the future they'll have more insulation, but especially like in the front, when you're going like 85 miles an hour, it was loud, and it was like a continuous loud. And there was some kind of like motor whine, and it wasn't like super obnoxious, but you could definitely hear it was there. And after a while, it was kind of like, why is this making a noise? Like Model 3 or why wouldn't do that? But obviously different motors and completely different car. But just the seats in the back, really nice. It was like, didn't really feel like I had like a limited leg room or anything. Like everyone was comfortable in there, and you could lay down fully on the back seats, and someone could also lay their seat back all the way. So there was plenty of space for us. And it was just nice to also no matter where we were, people were taking pictures and videos and almost crashing into us or almost driving off the road, or, you know, semi truck drivers pulling up right next to us and then going super slow so they can take videos. It was nonstop. But inside, yeah, it was great.
That was like a unique challenge that we had that no one else had, which is the, like, okay, we, Drew and I are pretty used to dealing with traffic, and we can kind of predict what a car is going to do as we go through traffic. It's just, you know, the social etiquette of driving, if you will. Everyone kind of, you know, has their own thing, and you can see that from a mile away, how they're driving, what they're going to do, and it's very predictable. When you drive a Cybertruck, you have no idea how anyone around you is going to drive. And we had people that were trying to take a photo and coming into our lane, and we had to go in the shoulder, and, like, you know, we had people slowing down in front of us, especially in the Southeast. Whatever was going on in, like, the panhandle of Florida into Louisiana and Mississippi and this whole
area, they were losing their minds.
Yeah. They were, it was like bro truck territory, and they all loved the Cybertruck.
Wow. Yeah. That's something that is a little worrisome, is, you know, people like out trying to run you off the road, or not trying to, but they're the consequences of their actions. Right. And then of course at Chargers, that's like, you're sitting ducks for people chatting with you, and y'all are trying to get out of there in a light cycle, you know? So how did that work? Did you, just act like you didn't know, hablo inglés?
Yeah, there might have been a little bit of that. I might be the MVP when it comes to that one.
Yes,
but yeah, I mean, there were certain situations where, I mean, it never got to be a problem. Like, we were never held at a charger longer than we wanted to be. Like, when it was time to unplug and get in the vehicle, we just unplugged and got in the vehicle and drove away. Yeah, that was
end of conversation. See you later. Sorry, but we're out.
Yep. But then there were some situations where when we did get into V2 land, where we had to just get a little creative with, you know, it actually maybe had an advantage then, having the Cybertruck, where, okay, let's get a crowd around here so that we block the charging spot next to us so that somebody doesn't pull in and cut our charging rate in half.
Oh, I forgot all about that. So when we went through that stretch on the highway where there was like two or three version two superchargers without V3 infrastructure, our biggest fear was having someone else pull up next to us and split power. And so we would like pull up and open all the doors. And I hate to admit this, because we'd never held anyone up from charging, but we would just encourage them to use another spot. So we would take the handle and wrap it over top of the charger to make it look like it was a dead supercharger. Again, we're not stopping people from charging there because there were other.
Yeah, nobody was ever waiting. Right. Nobody was ever waiting. Yep.
And I think one time we did have to let someone like park next to us, and we were good. And they turned out to be a viewer, which was like kind of funny because they didn't say that until like 10 minutes into the conversation. And then I was like, oh, so this is what we're doing. Another spot just opened up. Could you move your Model X over so we could get full power? And they were like, hell yeah, we're all in. And then we got back up to full power. So then we wrapped the supercharger cable back up over top of that unit.
So you had boundaries.
I think we left one of them. We're
good. Oh, you think you left one of them up? Yeah, I won't tell. I won't tell anyone.
Yeah, but I'm sure someone else figured it out. They probably saw that it was working and just like, who did that?
Yeah, just follow the fact, their route.
Yeah, the fact that you're guilty about it is what matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You wouldn't just leave cables hanging over and just be like, cool. Yeah.
No, yeah, we genuinely forgot on one, but on the other ones, we returned everything back to normal afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Can't fault you too much. You were racing across the country after all. Okay, you spent a lot of time together. Right. And you spend a lot of time strategizing. And then tell me, you're getting towards the end, and what is happening? It's been like two days on the road, like 48 hours by the time you're nearing the end in California, or am I exaggerating?
You're 10 hours.
About 40.
Yeah.
40.
Right? 40 hours and 15
a little over 40. Yeah, there you go.
Wow. Okay, 40 hours. So you're nearing in on 40 hours. You are looking at Glimpse. I'm sure you're like, oh my gosh, the Lightning is, we might have to really be competing here at the end. Just kidding. As we know, the Lightning was quite at the back. But okay, so you're really competing with the Silverado for all that you know. So what's happening at the end? Mm-hmm. How are you trying to get first? How close is it? What's going on?
Yeah, it's tight. Really, we started to get a little bit discouraged when we were going through the V2 area. That was like, coming out of Arizona, I guess, you know, somewhere around there. And, you know, there's just a couple V2s in a row, and it wasn't looking good. You know, even if we got back to our normal V3s, you know, every 80 miles, right off the highway, you know, they still would have, you know, had a gap and probably something that we wouldn't be able to catch back up to. But I haven't seen the third part of the race. I'm looking forward to it because I don't know what exactly happened in the Silverado, but they did seem to lose a bit of time. And then we got back into our normal, V3s nicely spaced, and we were back in it. So. Coming into the last leg, we were close and just, yeah, kept up the pace and optimization to the very end. So, that's going to be exciting to watch. I can't wait.
Yeah, me neither. So it sounds like you hit V3 territory again. So got a little bit of a luck there. And then what was the timing like at the end? Do y'all remember?
Well, the what was planned to be our very last charging stop, so the second to last, that's probably the one regret that I have, is we really should have just stayed a little bit longer, got just a little bit more energy into the battery, because and a little bit of more research ahead of time probably would have been good, because the mountains that we had to cross in between that charging stop and the finish, there was actually four summits. So we were going up and down, up and down, up and down. And, you know, I'm doing everything I can. I drove the last leg and, just trying to optimize, you know, like really everything. We're like, okay, now it's HVAC off, everything off, lights off even. And just, you know, no adaptive cruise, nothing like that. It's just, you know, purely manual, and just trying to, you know, be as smooth as possible, use as little energy as possible, let the thing just coast, and, you know, when possible. It was probably the most tense on public roads I've ever felt, actually. And what, so, yeah, it was everything I could do to get the range out of it, but also keep the speed up.
We were like wiping the inside of the windshield because we were fogging up.
It was fogging up. And yep.
Yeah. But you know, what's interesting is the Cybertruck's range estimator was always pretty good throughout the trip, but I think that kind of screwed us, and also lack of research ahead of time kind of screwed us, because we could have made it to the end. No question.
Oh yeah.
We could get the truck to the ending point. The question was, can we get to the truck to the ending point and still maintain enough speed to get in front of the Silverado? Because our whole strategy at the end was, we were following the Silverado by about 10 miles, 6 to 10 miles up that hill. And we started to see them slow down, which us was an indication that, oh, they don't have enough energy to make it to the end. And they're trying to stretch it. And we were like showing a -2% arrival. And we all know Cybertruck has a buffer. So we're like, we could probably get to -4% and still make it dead, which we were totally prepared to just have the thing die at the end and just walk away, go to sleep and deal with it in the morning. There was a switch that flipped in them, I guess, somewhere halfway through that mountain range, where they were just like, nope, we're going full speed. They must have seen us on Glimpse coming up, and they just dialed it right up. And then we knew that if they were doing that, they were going to have to stop and charge one more time.
Right.
And then we were like, well, we just need to get in front of them by the time they merge back on the highway. And we need enough energy to at least make it to the to Dog Beach, the finish line. And it was crazy that it was coming down to this. And ultimately, the weather got really cold and really hilly. And no matter what, even if we had maintained, we dropped speed a little bit towards the end because we're like, we still need like a -3, -4% arrival. And ultimately, they got on the highway just before us.
This is interesting because I have talked to the Silverado team. And so I know what they were thinking then and what y'all were seeing. And this is fun. I have a little insider view that I guess y'all will get when you watch it. But they were being strategic from my memory. Oh, yeah. So a little trickery, I think they might have been engaging in there, knowing that they were being watched. But I'll let you look into that yourselves a little bit. I think our audience might have seen this already. Yeah. Go, Kyle.
But what was interesting was they did a last charging stop. I don't think they were planning on doing that final charging stop. And by the time they got in front of us, we then just decided, well, the Rivian was still at that point, I think 15 or 20 minutes behind us, something like that. They were on the same mountain we were on, but on the other end of it. And then we had decided, well, we don't really want to deal with a dead truck at the end of this. We're going to secure second place no matter what, which is why we did one last charging stop. So we ramped the speed back up, made it to the last supercharger we could make it to, plugged in for like 3 minutes, and then we went in for the finish with enough energy to get back to that supercharger so we didn't have a dead Cybertruck.
Wreck the truck. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't want to do that. Okay. So Drew, you mentioned a few things that you might do differently, like more research, perhaps look into the topography of your route. Even was there anything else that y'all would have done differently in this case, Brandon, anything that comes to mind?
I would have just focused on being more like, I guess, efficient earlier on, just because I guess those little like 2 minute wait times over like 29 charging stops, that's an hour. So those like the minute at each thing, the extra minute waiting at a light or behind a car, all those little things just added on. But we were able to turn waiting, on of those things.
Waiting for your order at the
yeah. I was ready to just walk out of there.
Waiting for food.
Yeah. They made it, and then they made it like for here, even though when he took the order, he's like, are you eating in or taking out? I'm like, I'm taking it out. And then he's like, here's your food. And he gives it to me on a tray. I'm like, oh.
Okay, taking this to the side truck.
And then it took a sweet time to put it in a bag. Yeah, then I want to say, I'm going to race. I need you to bag this up as soon as possible.
No, got to stay polite, of course, man. Okay, yeah, that would have been frustrating. Like, Kyle's out there with steam coming out of his ears, I'm sure.
Yeah, we were calling him. We're like, we're leaving. Yeah. We're going to leave you there. I don't know what you're doing.
I have to eat. Okay, so I think you mentioned like 29 charging stops or something. How many charging stops did y'all do overall?
30, I guess. Yeah,
with the last one.
But there were more plug-ins because we were either overheating cables or found derated chargers. So in total, we probably had 40 plug-ins, but at 30 locations.
Okay. So something you might have done differently is, you know, make sure that you really emphasize to go. You know, this is a to go order. Maybe be more efficient in the beginning to really get that step ahead right when you start so that you have slack in between. Anything else?
From my viewpoint, we really ultimately, you're always going to find time on the table, especially driving across the entire country. But I find it hard to believe any team was more efficient than us across the country. I mean, I don't think anyone could do with the amount of charging stops that we did and the amount of just in and off the highways. We got so lucky with lights. I mean, only a handful of chargers were more than 1 hour, more than 1 mile off the highway. Yep. And we just really got so lucky. And I really think overall, Drew and I had done this a few times now. We know the drill, and that was, we were full send the whole way. And I'm not sure the Lightning crew fully got that message, which is like every millisecond matters, but they did pretty well. But I think they definitely, at least after the first couple stops. I mean, we also tried to like run around at the first stop and like really make a point that time matters when we saw them at that first charging stop, just to encourage some haste. I'm not sure that that message got through to them though.
Some people just run on a different, on island time. Right. And so that's something to consider for the next race. Yeah. So what about efficiency? Did you have like a kilowatt hour per mile stat that you can share that you remember you were getting in the Cybertruck over this whole 40 hours?
We do. I don't remember what it is.
We don't remember. Maybe I will get that number and overlay it here.
Yeah, we were like just under 2 miles per kilowatt hour, maybe 1.8. We end the video with everyone's efficiencies.
Okay, great.
So I go through and log the data off every truck. But the Cybertruck was I think the second in efficiency. The Rivian was the most efficient, Cybertruck, then Lightning, then Silverado, I think is how the efficiency worked.
We'll double check that in the final video. Okay, cool. So not that bad, not too surprising or anything. Okay, so would you do it again? Probably. I think that y'all would, but would you do it again in the Cybertruck, or would you want to give a different truck a go?
I like to win, so I would maybe give the Silverado a go. That'd be fun. And then, you know, I guess if this was ultimately supposed to be like a representative cross-country trip of these four electric vehicles and how they compare, then, you know, so we probably sort of failed in the Cybertruck because we probably did too well, you know, above average for the, you know, what the normal person would be willing to do. So, yeah, it'd be nice to just, you know, do an even faster time, but in a more casual way, which you can do in the Silverado. You know, it's just a little bit closer to, you know, a combustion vehicle, really. So yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, how much slower do you think a normal road trip would be in the Cybertruck? You think it would be 4 hours slower if you just do it with Trip Planner?
Probably. With Trip Planner, like complete, like just
like you're just a normal dude who just bought one.
7 hours.
Yeah, 4+. Really? It would be a lot of time. It'd be a lot of time.
Which was crazy because we were talking to Wes, the lead engineer of the Cybertruck, who was like following the race. It was pretty cool. And I have to throw him under the bus a little bit here. I like Wes, but like, he was like, oh, just follow Trip Planner. And like, I'm like, dude, do you know how bad that is? Like we would be last place.
And what way is it bad?
I mean, so there's, okay. So when you arrive at a charger and you're doing your charging session and you're looking for your next, well, I mean, I guess if you're doing Trip Planner, then you're not looking for your next one. You're just waiting for it to tell you when to leave. But, you know, let's even say that we have turned Trip Planner off. Oh, which by the way, speaking of throwing people under the bus, I should, I taught Kyle that you can turn Trip Planner off on this trip.
It's true. I've always used the like use Trip Planner, ignore it, and then scroll down and hit remove charging stations. But Drew's like, can just leave this shitty software off forever. And I'm like, that's amazing.
So, but anyway, so it was telling you, you know, what your next arrival state of charge would be. And that was always so far off. So that's, you know, sort of a, you know, another big part of the learning curve is, just basically ignoring that and doing our own calculations. And so, yeah, I mean, that's probably my biggest gripe with that system. You know, really, really good and probably, you know, sort of class leading, but, room for improvement, like big time.
Yeah, sounds like it. Maybe they need like out of spec mode where it's, you know, you know, obviously catered to this more type of driving. But Brandon, do you have any other big, like, what's your biggest takeaway from this experience? You'll never do a road trip again with Kyle?
No, I would do another one. I would honestly race against Kyle on the next one because I've learned a lot and I want to see if I can actually apply that.
Nice.
But I mean, I guess before I was kind of under the impression that the Cybertruck, like, it was a cool car, but it really wasn't that great at road trips. So, like, it wasn't as good as it was, like, when they announced it in 2019. But then just kind of experiencing it and actually, like, driving it and riding in it, you kind of see, like, a lot of that is just kind of, like, clouded. Like, once you actually experience it, you realize it's a good car. There's just a lot of things that they have to improve, just like any first-generation product. And all it did is make me want a Cybertruck even more.
Oh, nice. Really? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, fun. I think, Francie, you asked earlier, like, would you do it in another vehicle? And personally, I would take the Cybertruck again. I think it's exciting. It's really a challenge to optimize. The Lightning is easy because anyone can pretty much drive the Lightning and not think about it and get the same result. Because in that vehicle, you just always charge it to 80% based off of its charging curve. This, you are constantly calculating, looking at things, and going. Now, I really hope that Tesla fattens up the charge curve. The charge curve on this is rough. Really needs to fatten up the charge curve. And that right there, just that one change would turn this into a road tripper that you have to work really hard to optimize into something you can just cruise and not really think about it in. And it can almost double the distance between the charging stations. You'll start skipping them. Our perfect distance between chargers to fully maximize this truck was 60 miles. 60 to 65 miles, because we were getting at 85 miles an hour, which was the maximum we could drive, just about 200 miles or just under on a charge. So we would charge to 30% and then we'd arrive after 60 miles at zero. And then we would charge really fast back to 30%. And that was the perfect distance for us to just only charge at peak rates and to rock from charger to charger. And if they could hold peak charging speeds to 60%, I mean, the Porsche Taycan, as an example, has a smaller battery than this by a lot, and it holds over 300 kilowatts to 60% state of charge, 65% state of charge. Just shows how far behind Tesla is in charging speeds than the competition. And certainly, I would say that the Taycan is competition to the Cybertruck. They're both unnecessary luxury goods, and someone will have to choose between one or the other, a lot of people. And that charging performance of the Taycan, if they just put that battery in here, even with the smaller capacity, we would have been way faster across the country.
Yeah, that would have been crazy. Okay, yeah. That's a good point. You know, there's a fun challenge for Tesla to take on there, of course, it's what I would think. And y'all did this is a crazy road trip. This is not something that I would say 99% of the population is going to duplicate. So what lessons can you take from this crazy road trip to give to a normal person who's going to road trip an electric vehicle?
We probably make Brandon. It seem more intense than it actually is, mm-hmm. which yeah. if you just are a normal person on a road trip, which I also become a normal person on a road trip when I'm just driving somewhere and I mm-hmm. just charge and I get food and whatever the car charges to, whatever, and I go. And these races are not meant to be representative of a customer experience. They're meant to push vehicles to their absolute maximum limits so that we can compare against each other. It's like sports cars and Nürburgring times. Maybe unless you're Drew, but a normal person like myself could never get into a GT3 RS and match the factory lap time that Porsche set. However, it is nice to know what your car can do because someone did that test. And that's what we were doing here. We're doing a test to run the vehicles to the maximum road trip ability, just so people can, enjoy it, watch it. Yes, it's content for us, but it's also interesting. It gets the automakers involved. Like I said, we had the Tesla engineering team watching us. The Ford team was heavily involved. The GM team was heavily involved. Rivian, everyone was watching it. So it's kind of like this automaker battle done by us. And so that's why it's so important to me that everyone maximizes their truck to literally the best they can do, because that we're here basically doing a competitive event that people will in some cases base a buying decision off of. So it's important that we are fully optimized.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what gets me going about these is that competition aspect and you know, obviously, yeah, we can make the determination on, this team probably lost X amount of minutes or, you know, potentially hour or something like that. But I think, you know, we're all doing, you know, pretty darn close to totally optimizing each vehicle, that this is, you know, good data for, for people that, you know, are willing to do that if they're making a purchasing decision and really optimize like that. Or, I mean, at the very least, we're educating the automakers by doing this. So, it's just awesome.
Very cool. I can't wait to be a part of one. Seems fun. I do think it's, you know, it's a first in a lot of ways, getting all these electric trucks, which are firsts in themselves, and racing them across the country. Pretty exciting. Is there anything else y'all want to like tell the audience here that maybe wouldn't have made it into the video, or that you want to reiterate or emphasize about this truck race? No,
I don't think so for me.
I think maybe on my side, just how stable the Cybertruck was in terms of software performance. When we had been testing them, Drew was with us in Austin. We had warnings and issues and Brandon had his screen shut off in the Cybertruck and like just random bugs. We didn't have a single glitch in 40 hours of consistent driving. So the truck was solid. It went to 0% every single time without question, which we can't say for the Lightning. And that was a learning experience for the for Ford. We spoke to the Ford engineers about that experience and they learned a lot. They pulled all the data off the truck. They're adjusting their algorithms, and that will improve every existing F-150 Lightning on the road just by using our data. And so that was cool. I was pleased to see that, but I have to say Tesla at least nailed the stability of this truck. It took them a few months, but they got it dialed in now.
Super cool. Really exciting. Super fun. I loved hearing your insider scoop on what was going on inside of the Cybertruck while you were racing across the country, and looking forward to seeing the last episode. It's been fun to follow along. So thank you, Drew, Brandon, and Kyle, for coming onto the podcast to talk all things Cybertruck racing.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate your time. Yeah.
Great thank to be you. Here.
Of course. And I'm sure that folks are asking questions over on the Out of Spec Motoring videos, but of course, feel free to ask them here to the Cybertruck team. What do you think? Would you take the Cybertruck? Which truck would you take? Would you want this crew or a chiller crew? Let us know in the comments. Thanks again, y'all. And thank you, audience, for tuning in. We'll have links to everyone's stuff in the show notes if you're curious about Drew and Brandon and, of course, the race. So make sure to check those out. We'll see you next time on the next episode. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.